Joining us in studio is author Zach Fouché. Zach, very, very good morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So you have got a book launch coming up soon. You've got this is your first book. It's a book on poetry.
Yes, street poetry. Spanning three cities. Yeah.
What does that mean, street poetry?
Everyday life poetry. It's not fancy poetry. It's not wordy. It's not romantic.
So street poetry, it's really like a blogger of journalism for
exactly. It's observing and writing. Yeah.
Amazing.
So yeah. Zach, you live in LA. Yes. Have you ever been onto the streets to do your poetry?
That's all I do. Buses, the trains.
No. This is awesome.
All my work is basically documented on everyday life people. It's businessmen and housewives.
So you're just out there and that's how you're writing. Yeah. Are you reciting out there?
I do a bunch of readings all the time in LA. I've done a few readings in San Francisco. San Francisco is the writing poetry hub of America. It's where all the beats started, Allen Ginsberg, and that's
so
the vein in which I'm
so woke
write.
There. So Nati and I have been trying to be very, very woke, yes. But we're not there yet.
No,
Nati?
Just a couple of more years.
Yeah, we need some work.
So Nati is the street and you are the poet.
Alrighty.
But okay. So are you the guy, you're on the subway, on the metro, what do you call it in LA?
Yeah, the metro.
The metro, yeah. And you're the guy who stands up in the QB, what do you call the carriage, and suddenly starts
I definitely
poetry.
Don't do that, no. But I meet a lot
He's
of people.
Still South African after all. Yeah. It's got to be hard. We're disadvantaged as South Africans. We're self-conscious, no?
Yeah. No. And not self-conscious. I think it's, we live in our cars and we live in our homes and South Africa, the way we live in South Africa is not really on the streets.
So we haven't grown up
on
the streets in
the same
way. And
LA is very much
of
the same. I've refused to own a car since I moved to LA.
Afford to own a car since you've moved to LA.
But I think my work's because of the streets and because of the people that I meet.
So give me a very quick summation of your journey.
I graduated high school from King David in 2010. Mm-hmm. I moved to New York 3 weeks after. Mm-hmm. I went to the Lee Strasberg Theatre and Film Institute for acting for 2 years. And I worked with the most extraordinary people there, people who really shaped me and my writing. I was never writing in the beginning. Just my exposure to different people from all over the world, my teachers, my mentors, I grew up very quickly in New York. I was there when I was 17, 18. Everyone else was 10 years older than me. And then I had to go through visas, student visas and artist visas. And then I moved to Los Angeles to shoot a Western movie. And I've been there for 3 years, writing a lot.
And you write mainly poetry or all poetry?
I write this type of poetry, like my street poetry, but I've also written a World War II Holocaust film, which is going to be shot in Berlin in the end of the
year. Incredible.
About a Jewish woman who falls in love with a Nazi officer and he ends up saving her children.
Right.
So that's going to shoot in Berlin. And I'm still acting. That's the reason I'm
in
America.
That's your passion?
Yeah. Incredible. And writing's my other passion, but writing's come from acting. I think the one goes with the other.
And have you always loved poetry?
No, not really. I don't really love poetry at all. I love certain poetry and I love the greats, but I also love the beats. And I think they really changed America with how they wrote.
Because it's so interesting that you're drawn to poetry. Most people, and certainly younger people, aren't drawn to poetry.
Well, I think a lot of poetry is pretentious. And I think also a lot of poetry is ruined in high school because we tested on why people wrote this way and what the poet's intention is and why is a comma there.
Which is a whole philosophically that's
exactly,
a disaster.
Exactly. It doesn't mean anything.
Disaster.
It comes from a place in your body and it gets put onto a page.
And it actually doesn't even matter where it comes from. It actually just matters what's on the page.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're reading poetry that was written in the 16th or 17th century is great, but we're looking at it through 21st century eyes.
Exactly.
So it really doesn't matter what the poet was thinking at the time. It's irrelevant.
And I think our poetry now, I think the world is way more complicated than it was ever because of technology, because of the amount of people, because the whole world is so small now that you can go everywhere. You can be anywhere in any city on any different day. So the whole world is like condensed into basically one big city.
Do you think that one day we'll look back on Twitter and say, well, that was the poetry of the 21st century?
I hope so.
I think not.
Why?
I mean, Twitter is to say like it's about the content. It's not about the platform. It's like saying the blank pages of a book.
Well, it is that because it's like haiku. We're limited to a certain number of letters. That's why I'm thinking that actually is that it's got a very, very specific, Twitter's developed a very, very specific style, language. It's become its own genre because of the limitations around it.
Well, you know, if haiku is about discipline and, you know, if you look at sonnets or rhyming couplets and the structured requirements, what's really happened is we've done away with the structure.
Yeah.
And now it's just about the meaning that's within it.
Yes, exactly. I despise structure in poetry. I think that it breaks up the poet and I think it breaks up the material. I think that poetry is spoken word. I think it's something we think, and yes, you edit and you go through the poems multiple times before it goes out into the world. But my poetry is very raw. I really don't think about structure and foundation and what my message is in the poem. I don't really have a beginning, middle, and end to anything I write.
Like, do poets have any respect these days?
I've met amazing poets in L.A. And in
New
York.
Wait, hold on. Do they have respect for, or are they respected?
Are they respected? I mean,
I actually met someone yesterday who's a big publicist in South Africa. He does a lot of stuff for international artists in America. And I had a meeting with him, and he said, you know, Zach, poetry is a dying language. And I said, it's actually a dead language because people don't read anymore. And people are scared of what is going to be said. People want to hear what they want to hear, and they get uncomfortable the second that they shift it out into someone else's reality. It's a scary thing, reading something that hits you. No one wants to be... my mom always said to me when I was growing up, art is meant to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And if it doesn't
Say that again slowly.
Art is meant to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And if it doesn't do that, it's not art. That.
And of course, your mom is an artist.
I got my words from her.
Your mom, of course, is Dolores.
Yes.
The one of the greatest food artists we have in Johannesburg.
Yes. And a writing artist. She really gave me a life of literature and books. We live through words. It's me and my brothers. We live in lyrics. We live in words. Those are the things that touch us.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Will you, so we've got your book here in studio. Wherever I Go, I Want to Leave, by Zachary Adam Frochet. And that's being launched tomorrow.
Yes, I'm doing a small launch for just family and friends tomorrow.
Okay. So, listeners absolutely not invited. Sorry, guys. We would love to have been able to invite you, but we can't unless you're a family or a friend.
If someone wants to come and buy a lot of books.
Listen, it's a limited release. So I got certain amount for South Africa from my publishers and, it's for family and friends.
Okay. More important is, will you read us a poem?
Of course.
All right. What are you going to read us?
I'm going to read you a poem called One of Those Nights. If you flip through the page, I think it's 41, 42.
You need to know that.
42. It's called One of Those Nights.
Mm-hmm.
The rain was coming down hard, and while it did, I watched it trickle onto my windowsill, and I missed the ones I love. It's dirty dishes and cracked sinks and broken pipes and jammed windows and shaky staircases and dirty socks under the bed and a dripping faucet and an old toothbrush and gooey, waxy, yellow-stained earbuds in the bathroom trash can. It's thrown away food and fights over dinner and cries in bed and sleepless nights and paranoid days that feel like nights. It's a hairbrush tangled in hair. It's stained underwear. It's sweaty bed sheets. It's a tea bag left in a teacup. It's an unread book you told people you read. It's the hot flushes and runny tummies and the waiting for someone to notice you. It's the smell of a place that's not yours and the taste of not your mother's food. It's growing up and coming undone and coming apart and finding a way. And the rain was coming down hard. And while it did, I watched it trickle onto my windowsill. And I missed the ones I love.
Love that.
Thank you. That's one of my very gentle ones.
Wow. Oh, you mean for family radio? Is that
family
what you're
radio,
saying?
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
Zanati, your thought?
Absolutely love
I knew
that.
You would. I knew that would appeal to you.
Also, because I never understand, like, the language in poetry.
Of poetry.
Exactly. But, like, this, I love this. Like, I
think
picture as he's literally reciting.
Well, it's creating an image
exactly.
in words. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying before. I think a lot of we sometimes find poetry a little pretentious in that it's almost created to be inaccessible
it's
rather
like code
than
language
accessible.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and all we want is really to be able to connect with it. It's just another form of art. It's a painting and it's incredible, really, really amazing.